You may think Christmas is over. The 25th was 10, 11 days ago. Many of us have taken down our Christmas trees, and perhaps you've even packed away your nativity sets, though traditionally we think of the wise men or the magi traveling to Bethlehem on Epiphany, which is the 6th. So in the liturgical calendar, Christmas lasts from Christmas Day, December 25th, all the way to January 6th, Epiphany Day. Hence the Christmas song, The 12 Days of Christmas. However, the work of Christmas, the Christmas life, lasts the whole year long. None other than Ebenezer Scrooge from Dickens' A Christmas Carol reminds us more poignantly of the need to keep Christmas when he proclaims, "I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all year." This, of course, is spoken by the transformed Scrooge, showing his desire to live with kindness and compassion all year long. Which brings us to John's Gospel and our scripture reading for today. As Zan mentioned, John offers a different kind of birth story, a different kind of Christmas story. He does not have a birth narrative like Matthew and Luke. His is a more heady approach, a theological one, which scholars have studied for years, that of the incarnation. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. Jesus became flesh, one of us, Emmanuel, God with us, as we sang all throughout Advent, as we sang again today. But what does the incarnation mean for us as we claim its promises in our lives? How can we be the light, the concept of God pitching a tent among us, taking on human skin, or the image of God in the neighborhood, the glorious impossible, love coming down to be with us, God's great miracle of love? All these are descriptions of the incarnation. But as Bill mentioned in our prayer, and those of us who have greeted each other with the news of the world today, there is so much darkness in our world, in our community, in our lives. We all know personal darkness. Sometimes it seems like these words cannot be true, that the darkness is overcoming the light. But John's promise to us is that Jesus came to be one of us, to meet us right where we are in our personal world, in our lives at this very moment. Jesus comes to us in our darkness. And God, in Christ, empowers us to be light bearers, to be little Christ to one another. There is a beautiful painting from the 15th century by a Dutch painter, Gerkento St. John, and it's printed on the back of your bulletin. I'd like you to take a look at it if you would. It's entitled Nativity at Night, and it's aptly named because, first of all, one is overwhelmed by the darkness. It depicts a traditional Christmas story. But again, I am most drawn to the darkness, especially in the center and around the corners. But as one looks closer, there is this light radiating from the baby in the manger, the Christ child. It is a divine glow. And this divine light emanates and illuminates everyone present. Mary's face is radiant. Now, Joseph didn't show up too well in this reprint, but he is behind Mary in the shadows. And I like to think of him as also being illumined. But perhaps that's where Joseph was most comfortable anyway, in the shadows. The angels are gazing in awe. And in the background, if you look closely, the shepherds can be seen with their dog and their sheep around their fire, and they are gazing upward at the dazzling angel. My favorite detail is the ox and donkey peering into the manger. You can see the ox more clearly than the donkey, but the donkey is there too. This powerful painting invites the viewer to become a part of the scene, to allow oneself to enter the light and also be illuminated. The divine glow pierces the darkness. This is the light of which John speaks, the light that shines in the deepest night, in which the night has not and will not overcome. But as I've already mentioned a couple of times and will reiterate again, the dark can be pretty powerful, can it not? It also can be scary. We must be honest about the reality of the darkness in our world and lives, but also claim the promise of the incarnation, of Christ entering our world in the flesh, becoming one of us, giving us life and light, empowering us to shine. This is the glorious impossible, to use Madeline Lingle's phrase, the extraordinary news of Christmas, that we are God's own children, called to be light bearers of infinite worth in God's eyes, called to help God care for each other in this broken world and earth. Therefore, to keep Christmas, we should live like the Word which became flesh and pitched a tent among us. Embodiment must now happen through God's people. That means the likes of you and I, children of God that we are. We are to be little Christ to one another, for Christ is the life-giving light. This church inspires me and continues to in so many ways that we have embodied Christ. I look out there and see many of you involved in these ministries, whether it be the rotating shelter, the upcoming daytime warming shelter, Hike Home Ministry, Hope Clinic, just to name a few. But the needs are so great, and there's always more work to do. That is why we need each other more than ever to share the light. A few years ago, I had a fall and I was laid up for several months. My first big outing was the Christmas Eve family service. I had an awkward walk or so. I got seated and stayed there. But at one point in the service, and Zan still does this, we were invited to the front to take a candle which had been lit from the Christ candle. I could not get to the front, so I was content just sitting and watching. And then a kind and thoughtful person, whom I did not know very well, approached me to share a candle. I was deeply touched by this gesture of sharing the light. Sometimes we need someone to share the light with us. And other times we are called to share light with others. Frederick Buechner writes, "What keeps the wild hope of Christmas alive year after year in a world notorious for dashing all hopes is the haunting dream that the child who was born that day may yet be born again even in us, and our snowbound, snowblind longing for him." Yes, we have the capacity, the calling to become the light of Christ, shining in the darkness. It is the last Sunday of Christmas, the first Sunday of a new year, and we have this promise that is too amazing and wonderful to keep for just 12 days. The work of Christmas continues, as Howard Thurman encourages us so beautifully in his wonderful poem. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among the people, to make music in the heart. We have the huge privilege of sharing and living the Christmas life together in this place, of keeping Christmas all year long. Our beloved Pastor Stacy loved her t-shirts with all their different sayings on them. My favorite was, "Shine bright, y'all. Shine bright, y'all. And yes, have a blessed Christmas all year long."